Good morning, everyone. If you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. And for each and every one of you, thank you for braving the weather to be here this morning. I know that we got off to a little slower start because we're waiting for people to kind of weather the storm outside, but it's great that everyone made it here safe and sound, and prayerfully the rest will be arriving sometime later. This is a time in a service, of course, where we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Before we do that, I wanted to just kind of mention a little bit what's going to be happening today. I'm going to be leading us in a communion slash short lesson. And then afterwards, we're going to see a young man who decided to make Jesus Lord of his life. We're going to see Owen Lutz get baptized. Oh, there he is. There, so it's always exciting. So I look forward to seeing Owen get baptized and become our brother in the Lord. You know, it is quite a crazy time of the year. I guess Dwayne mentioned a busy time of the year. And I'm not sure what your plans are, but whatever you have going on, I hope that you have a safe travel. But it's interesting, with all the busyness, we decide, hey, you know what? Well, we have a Saturday night free. And we said, okay, we're going to just sit back, we're going to relax and just see what's on TV. And so then I thought, you know, let's maybe we get a chance to watch a little bit of the hockey game. And my son, who's 5 years old, and for those of you who don't know, I'm a devoted Maple Leaf fan. My son said to me, he goes, Daddy, my team is the Ottawa Senators. Because, and he goes, because I live in Ottawa. And so, of course, for those who, many people have tried that argument with me over the years. So then we're like, my wife and I are shocked. And Karen's like, Eric, that's false doctrine. And so then I tried to pull to the emotional strings and say, Eric, do you love Daddy? Eric, do you really love Daddy? But nonetheless, he can make his own decisions. He can cheer for whoever he wants to, by all means. But that was quite a little shock. But nonetheless, Jesus is in control. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. You know, also this weekend, for those of you who are Star Wars fans, the new Star Wars movie has come out. And I was listening to something when I was driving. And someone was reading the whole kind of, to give you an idea of what the story is about. And here's what it says. It says, in a time of conflict, a group of unlikely heroes band together on a mission to steal the plans to the Death Star, the Empire's ultimate weapon of destruction. This key event in the Star Wars timeline brings together ordinary people who choose to do extraordinary things, and in doing so, become part of something greater than themselves. And I was like, wow, I gotta go see this movie. But then I started thinking about that, and started, you know, sinking into my mind. You know, when we read about the story about the birth of Jesus, you know, we do see God's hand at work in many different ways. We see how God works through ordinary people, ordinary places, and ordinary things to bring about something extraordinary, something greater than, at that time, themselves, and something even greater than ourselves, that being the birth of Christ. You know, what we know about the birth of Christ, we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, a cattle trough. We think about how, when we think about Christmas, we think about the shepherds. The shepherds who were, at that time, insignificant and were not allowed into different cities and often considered outcasts. We know about the innkeeper, a normal guy who doesn't even have a name in the story of Jesus. And then we think about Mary and Joseph, a young couple from a village at that time called Nazareth. So when we read the story, and we look at the people, the places, the things, we see when God shows up on the scene, what is ordinary becomes extraordinary. And God uses ordinary things, ordinary people and places to accomplish extraordinary things. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, if you read there with me. In Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. You know, could you imagine? You know, this angel appearing to Mary and telling Mary what is going to happen. But as we read this story, we learn about Mary, but we learn about how God uses ordinary places, people, and things to accomplish extraordinary things. You know, the first thing we see here is that God uses ordinary people. That this angel appeared to Mary. You know, Jesus, God used a young woman, a young, poor, single woman, and a humble, ordinary man. Both from a little town called Nazareth. You know, at that time, from what I read, there was about 400 people in this small little town. And that from this town would come the mother and father who would give birth to the baby Jesus. You know, right now, Nazareth is a city, and it's about 75,000 people. That is the size of Barhaven. And Nazareth was a long way from Jerusalem. It was not known to be the happening city during that time. And truth be told, neither is Barhaven. But nonetheless, Nazareth was a village frequently visited by Gentile merchants, Roman soldiers. It was known for its independence and also its aloof attitude. You know, if you turn your Bible to John chapter 1, we're going to come back to Luke. In John chapter 1 and verse 43, this is when Jesus called the disciples. So in verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. So here we see Nathanael's response of course, knowing about Nazareth. Could anything good come from Nazareth? Then we think about Mary, a young woman. And you think about all the characteristics in that day would not make her seem likely for greatness, to be used by God for any major task. Yet God chose Mary for the most significant event, an important act of obedience, more than God has asked of anyone. And the lesson we learn here is that God works through ordinary people. And that's good news for you and for me. You know, we can often at times feel like we lack the ability, we lack the training, we lack the experience, we lack the talents. But we're reminded when we look at the story about the birth of Jesus that God works through ordinary people. And God can work through anyone to accomplish extraordinary things. And we can feel that we are unlikely candidates to do anything great for God. Whether it be our character, our different limitations. But we're reminded when we look at this that, you know what? That nothing is impossible for God. You know, when God looked at Mary, he saw something different than what people around her probably saw. And that is the very heart of God. God looks at situations very different than you and I. Because God looks at people very differently than at times you and I. When the world looks at someone, or when we look at someone, we might see failure, but God sees a future. When we look at a situation or a person, we might see a problem, but God sees the possibilities. When we look at someone, we might see the limitations. But when God looks at people, he sees what extraordinary things can be accomplished through them. No matter our background, no matter our character, no matter our weakness, no matter what we're going through today, what we'll go through in the days to come, we're going to remember that God can work through any situation. God can work through any person to accomplish extraordinary things. You know, another thing I learned here when I read the story is that God not only works through ordinary people, that God uses open hearts. You know, the angel appeared to Mary, and she was confused, as I'm sure if the angel appeared to you, you too would be confused. Especially if you're a guy, and that was asked of you. Some of us just missed that, but don't worry about it. You'll be driving home going, "Oh, I got it!" Nonetheless. But she was confused and disturbed that how can this even happen? And the angel explained to her, and Mary's response, that I am the Lord's servant. That I am the Lord's servant. We see Mary had a willing heart to simply trust God and to obey. You know, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, you don't need to turn there. But I said, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. You know, God uses open hearts. And I do believe that God looked into Mary's heart. And he saw a woman with a humble heart, a woman with a trusting heart, who would be able to carry through with this task that he was entrusting to her. And she simply said, you know what? I am the Lord's servant. And she accepted what God was asking of her. You know, I'm not sure what Mary was thinking about her plans for her life with Joseph. But we see here that this angel, of course, God working here, interrupted Mary's life. Probably threw all her plans off course. Simply to do something extraordinary for God. You know, for Mary, God's plan of being the mother of Jesus would have its share of challenges. Mary, as an unmarried girl, to become pregnant, that alone brought challenges. Unless the father of the child agreed to marry her, she could remain unmarried for life. If her own father rejected her, she could have been forced into a life of doing things she probably wouldn't have wanted to do. And you think about her story, having to explain to people, I'm pregnant. Oh yeah, who's the father? Well, I'm not married. Oh. So who's the father of the child? Holy Spirit. Try having to tell that to someone. But yeah, with all of that, and knowing that, you know what, she's going to have some explaining to do. She's going to have some ridicule that she's probably going to have to face. Despite all those risks, Mary simply said, you know what, I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm going to go through with this. Her heart to trust and obey God was part of God's plan to bring salvation to the world. She didn't fully understand everything, but was fully committed to trusting God no matter what. You know, God does not need people with extraordinary qualifications, talents, or abilities. But I do believe God is looking for men and women to put their trust in Him. To have hearts that are humble to trust Him and to obey Him. To trust Him, which can be often tough at times. You know, sometimes I find myself challenged to trust God when I'm in my heart. I'm like, you know what, that doesn't seem fair. That doesn't make any sense. But to find myself going, you know what, but I still need to. As difficult as it is to trust God in this situation, I need to lay aside my own plans and my own interests. And I need to surrender my heart to God's plan. You know, trusting God requires prayer. And we learn that in the character of Jesus. Because times we don't feel like trusting God, which I'm sure Mary at times probably didn't feel like trusting God. But we do know that Mary was a woman of prayer. And it requires trusting God and praying to God and crying out to God in our hearts. Because to accomplish something greater than ourselves, we need a power that is greater than ourselves. And trusting God requires that we cry out to God and we depend on God and allow God to use us to do extraordinary things. And trusting in God requires putting God first in our lives. It requires that, you know, whatever it is that our plans, and I'm not sure what Mary's plans were at that time, but she put her life, her plans, whatever her goals and ambitions were, and she put God's will first in her life. And I do believe to trust in God, it requires remembering God's love. Remembering God's love in the good times, remembering God's love in the tough and bad times. But I do believe when we think about the heart of Mary, I know that's what stands out to me, is a woman who trusted in God. A woman who was surrendered in her heart to God when things wouldn't make sense. Things that would make things difficult and inconvenient for her. But she still decided in her heart, I'm the Lord's servant. And I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God with this baby Jesus, that it's going to be put in my care? That alone. Even if everything else is all in place. That alone would be a challenge itself. That here you go, you're going to be raising the Son of God. You know, parenting alone has its own challenges. And we don't know what kind of child that Jesus was. But that alone has its own challenges. And Mary probably at times was stressed. When maybe if Jesus caught a cold, if this happened to Jesus, go, wow, okay, I got to make sure that he's well taken care of. But she simply was a woman who trusted in God. She trusted in God with the big things, and she most likely would have trusted in God with all the little things. As we take communion here this morning, you know, when we think about the birth of Jesus, the greatest story ever told, you know, we see here that Luke shares that God uses a series of ordinary people, ordinary places, ordinary things to change the world. And no matter where we're at today, the ordinary can become extraordinary. But it's important that we do trust God. We open our hearts to God and trust Him and obey Him. And believe that God can accomplish great things in our lives. And I do hope that wherever our holidays take us, that we truly have hearts that trust God, wherever we are, whatever circumstance we're in, to trust God and see what God does in our lives over the holidays and also in the years to come. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we take communion here together. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can be together as a family, as friends. Father, to be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Father, as we think about the birth of Jesus, we think about how your Son came to this earth. And we think about, God, how you worked in so many different situations so that your Son could be born. Father, we think about his life. We think about his example. And then, Father, we think about that his death, resurrection on the cross. Death on the cross and his resurrection. And, Father, we think about through his life, his death and resurrection, we're able to have a relationship with you. Father, as we take communion here today, as we take the emblems, the bread and the juice that represent your Son's body and his blood, help our hearts, God, be filled with gratitude for the incredible sacrifice of your Son. And help us, God, to trust you. Help us, God, to obey you. And help us, God, to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much. We're able to take this time to remember your Son. Please bless this time as we take communion together. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.